Sunset Lake CBD is a majority employee-owned hemp farm located right outside of Burlington, Vermont. Before they started growing hemp, Sunset Lake Farms produced cream for Ben & Jerry's. Sunset Lake CBD doesn't use any pesticides or herbicides to grow any of its hemp plants, and they use organic fertilizer and other sustainable farming techniques to ensure the long-term health of the soil and to minimize their carbon footprint. So like all of us, my days are really stressful. By the end of the night, my kids are in bed, I'm taking a minute to chill, but I'm still unwinding. I recently started using the Relax Gummies infused with CBD isolate, reishi mushroom extract, and ashwagandha root extract. I'm really glad I tried these because they really helped me get ready for a good night of sleep, and I really think I sleep better, so I'd highly recommend it. Check out Sunset Lake CBD today at sunsetlakecbd.com and use the code UNDERMINE for 20% off your order. That's sunsetlakecbd.com and use the code UNDERMINE for 20% off your order. Farmer-owned, Vermont-grown, Sunset Lake CBD. Hey listeners, I want to tell you about Music Masters Collective, a nonprofit organization that produces unique music events, providing opportunities for fans and artists to meet and collaborate in an inspired and creative atmosphere. These events give you the opportunity to learn from world-class musicians like the Fab Four, Steve Earle, Richard Thompson, John Scofield, Nels Klein, the Milk Carton Kids, and many more. This June, join the Wait Band, featuring members of the band and the Levon Helm Band with special guests, including Jimmy Vivino, Bob Margolin, Lost Leaders, Chris O'Leary, Cindy Cashdollar, Stony Creek Band, Rob Fraboni, Larry Packer, and so many more at Camp Cripple Creek. This all-inclusive music vacation in the Catskill Mountains of upstate New York promises to be a once-in-a-lifetime experience featuring performances, workshops, jams, comfortable lodging, and superb dining. Visit campcripplecreek.com/undermine to register today. That's campcripplecreek.com/undermine.
Osiris.
This is Undermine Presents We've Got a Band, the podcast where fish fans talk to fish fans who have bands. I'm your host, James Dell.
And I'm Gabrielle Bluestone. And this week we are back with Dan Cantor. This is part two of our interview with Dan.
Last week on the pod, we talked a lot about Justin Bieber and, you know, kind of the cross-section between the Bieber universe and the fish universe. This time we talk more about Dan and his own journey in being a fan and going to shows and, you know, what fish means to him. And, you know, taking that music out into the world and, you know, playing some of the same arenas and some of the same amphitheaters that his favorite band plays. So we talk about eating Trey and all kinds of great stuff on this episode. Without any further ado, this is Undermine Presents We've Got a Band, Episode 7, Part 2 with Dan Cantor.
Sponsored by Section 119. I do want to ask you really quickly, just because this is a show that is kind of predicated on the idea of, you know, a band with fans that have fans. And so that kind of celebrity element is definitely part of it. So I'm curious, do you get recognized at shows? What is that experience like? Does it take you out of the experience? Does it add to it? What is that like for you?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yes, I do. I love it because I love meeting people at Fish. You know, by no means am I a celebrity. I definitely work for celebrities, you know, and I'm sort of like a fan of that singer. I'm like, I can appreciate that I'm a good consolation prize because I am, that, you know, I am still that person who reads the liner notes, and I can tell you everyone who played on Thriller and Bad and, you know, all, you know, that's me. And I used to wait by stage doors and tour buses, and someone would walk out with like a Smashing Pumpkins tour jacket, and like they could be in work in catering, and I was still excited. But yeah, you know, it's funny with Bieber, like I always wanted to be behind the scenes with him, you know, in music in general. You know, being in his 3D movie obviously changed that, and his fans were so crazy. But yeah, like Ed Fish, I definitely like people will come up and say hi. Some people, like, I'll be in the bathroom and they'll be at the urinal and they'll be like, Kanner, where's Bieber? You know? But yeah, it's really sweet because I have a lot of really close friends now, you know, of the Fish friends that I never would have made if, you know, I don't know, if they didn't recognize me and come introduce themselves and say hi to me, you know? And and I'm also like grateful that like you guys want to talk to me because I love like, you know, like my friends are jealous right now because we talk about everything you and I, like the three of us have talked about all the time, but we're not recording, you know, no one's listening to it. So the fact that people, you know, I get to talk about it, you know, I listen to this Metallica podcast every week and I'm screaming at the speakers, I wish I could be in the conversation. So I'm really fortunate that you got, you know, to get to talk about my favorite, one of my favorite bands. But yeah, I don't know. It doesn't take me out of it. It's so fun, and most of the time it happens like at set break, and I want to talk to people. Like I don't sit in my seat at set break. I'm going to track down everyone. I'm saying like meet at Waterwheel at set break, you know. So. Yeah, it's fun. My friends find it funny. You know, one of my best friends, Dove, takes pictures every time I'm talking to people. He thinks it's how bizarre. You know, and you know, there was a great period, which was really the best time. You know, now, you know, Justin's not touring, and he also stopped meet and greets. But there was a period between 2009 and 2015 where, you know, every night Justin would do these, like, meet and greets for winners or whoever. And I would meet someone at set break and they would say like, oh, my niece is a big Bieber fan. And I would say like, here's my email, like text me next time we play in town. And like, it's nothing for me to get her two great seats and a meet and greet, you know? And I was like, you know, depending on what I was on, I was throwing out my email to everyone, like, you know, you know, sure. And I would follow through with that. And that was such a great, sweet thing, is like to be able to share, you know, that, which for me is nothing. I'm emailing someone saying, can you add these, you know, two names to the list? And so that was really exciting when people would come up and say like, oh, my niece or my daughter, whatever, you know? Yeah. But now it's funny. And now like I'm at shows, like I recognize, like I haven't met the hood guy yet. I'm always looking for, you know, the hood guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was really, yeah, like, it's funny that I am a I don't think about it that way, but it's because I'm just going and it's my favorite place in the world, you know, but it's kind of silly that people, but I, you know, I get it. Like Bieber is so big and I brought him and, you know, yeah, sure. But
it's,
like I said,
it's funny.
Yeah, go ahead. No, it's just, it's that I've actually like made, you know, there's this guy named Jack Arnold. You guys follow him? He's like a celebrity griller. You should check him out, Jack Arnold. He's one of my closest friends. We just had an amazing meal before night two in New York. And he, I only met him because he's like, you know, air quotes, an influencer. And I guess I am, like, I'm not a good influencer. You know, I just post, you know, I'm not like strategic about my social media, but we only connected because of that, you know, and now we're, you know, he's a really good Fish bud.
I would argue that you are the best kind of influencer because, you know, for the last decade, I have been delighted by the fact that there is someone out there who is playing Fish songs for like a generation of like young pop fans who don't even know what they're getting into and learning. And it tickles me on such a level. Like, it's such a beautiful thing that you're doing.
Well, thank you. I mean, I'm, you know, spreading the love, and it's cool to see younger, you know, younger generations at Fish. I love seeing those pictures of Trey's daughter and all her friends. And like, you know, I still have that with my friends at Fish, you know, these giant groups, you know, I'm still like the one at Dick's sometimes. Like now we will like go with CID, but like I was getting like a yellow school bus and a clipboard, you know. Up until 2015.
James is our bus organizer.
You know, like, so it's cool to see like younger kids like in these big group pictures on Instagram doing that. But anyway.
Also, on the flip side of it, there is a hilarious photo of Trey looking like Justin Bieber's biggest fan. It was like a backstage shot. I think he had brought his daughter to meet him, maybe.
Correct. Yes, that was the very first time. So we did this Jingle Ball. Jingle Ball is like a radio show where every artist plays for 15 minutes. Exactly. And the very first Jingle Ball at Madison Square Garden, it was Justin and my first time playing the Garden. At that point, he had like blown up so quickly. We had no crew. It was like his mom, a security guard, and me. That backstage hallway at the Garden is so small, and Taylor Swift was there, John Mayer. Like, it's like bring your kid to work day. It was just mental backstage. And I was running around like crazy because I was the one who had to tell Justin, like, be on, you know, side stage at this time. And Usher was coming out to do a song with us. Like, I was just frazzled. And I'm like weaving my way through all these like executives in the hallway. And then like Trey is standing there. This is the first time I met Trey. And I was like, hello, you know, like in a panic, freaking out. And, you know, I'm like, Trey, what are you doing here? And he's like, you know, these are my daughters. We're here to see Bieber. And I was like, oh, I'm Bieber's musical director. Let's go to his dressing room right now. And we went to the dressing room and I knocked on the door and I was like, Justin, do me the biggest solid right now. And just like, be nice to this, you know, not that he wouldn't be, but you know, so he came out and met Trey and his daughters. And there's a picture of Justin and that picture you're talking about. And then my first picture with Trey is immediately after that. And Justin took the picture of us. And it was really exciting. Yeah. It was quick.
Did Justin have context for who Trey was, or was this just like a random fan?
At the time. No, but his manager Scooter said, a lot of my friends quit law school for this guy.
That is the perfect quote. Wow. Scooter with the knowledge.
Always. He is a genius.
Also, that story really made me laugh because my first concert that I was ever allowed to go to by myself was Jingle Ball in maybe like 2004, 2005, I want to say. And John Mayer played. And that was the first time I had seen, you know, like a really talented blues guitarist kind of playing live, even though it was all pop music. Although I remember even at the time thinking like, man, this guy makes some weird faces.
Sure does. But, he's the man.
You know, I was at the show with my friend and my dad let me go by myself, but he had somehow gotten himself backstage to like come pick me up whenever the show was over. So he's texting me. He's like, I'm sitting next to this guy named Usher. Do you know who this is?
Nice boy named Usher.
Never been more jealous in my entire life. He wasn't even at the concert and he's hanging out backstage.
With Usher. That's amazing.
With Usher.
Love it. Yeah, those are fun shows. I love the Jingle Balls. That's that picture with Bieber and Trey. But otherwise, we didn't, with like the other times he came, like we weren't taking pictures. You know? Yeah. It's funny. What a weird world.
I'd be remiss if I didn't ask this, but you've alluded to it a number of times, so I'm going to go there. As far as going to a show and getting into the right headspace, getting loose, what kind of, and the answers we've gotten have varied. So like it typically the story goes, I started this way and, you know, then I gave up acid or I started doing acid and it changed everything. But knowing that you could get recognized, right? Like that has to kind of play into like how spun you would ever get anywhere anyway. But also you've already said like fish is a special place. So how does substances play into your enjoyment or lack of enjoyment of fish in that world?
Great, great, great question. You know, I have to say I've experienced fish both ways. Mostly the other way. You know, I think for me, fish and my friend, and you know, for my family and our friends, fish is like our adult summer camp. It's kind of like saying, you know, if I'm going to a cottage weekend with my grade school boys, my camp boys, for me, you know, and like we're going to, you know, we're going to drink. I'm going to socially smoke cigarettes, and I don't smoke cigarettes, but like, you know, I could go to that weekend and not do anything and have the best time. But it's like a weekend where I let loose because I'm with my boys at a cottage, and fish sort of is that way. It's a sensitive thing, I think, because like, I don't want anything to ruin my show. I don't ever. So I'm sort of like, you know, those sort of like psychedelic butterfly. Like I don't.
You're not someone who goes with like a whole bag of mushrooms and gobbles them all up and winds up in the parking
experience.
Lot.
I'm sort of, right. I'm sort of, you know, I'm nervous to ruin my experience, but I'm also really, you know, open to heightening my experience. But you know, being recognized, that has nothing to do with it. And typically like just with anything, I don't want to go deep on anything. I mean, you know, even like if I'm at a wedding, like I'm not getting blackout drunk, but I'm happy to have like a bunch of champagne.
Sure.
You know, that being said, like I've left a fish show once.
Oh, right. And, oh, not by choice.
And it sucks for my, you know, it sucked for my wife. I mean, we've all been there.
Yeah, every single one. 130 shows. You can't make them all sing to the end.
Listen, this last run, there was a jam on No Man in No Man's Land that pulled me right out of something. I was like, I'm glad I stuck it out and it turned out okay.
Yeah, exactly. That's self-talk. But no, I mean, I think it's, you know, a big, my wife went to, she's not over there. Like, I think over 25, maybe 30 shows where she was either pregnant or breastfeeding. And, you know, and we all around her, you know, I was like melting on her, like, I love fish. She's like, fuck off right now. You know,
you were drinking for two.
And she had the best time. And so like for me, you know, I think it could go either way, but it really is. It's not so much about, you know, getting spun. And yeah, I mean, sure, there's a connection and like heightening the music. For me, it's just like fish is my freedom, you know. And I feel bad for friends of mine who don't have that thing. Like we are all so lucky, you know, that we have this thing where we get to go and we get to, you know, travel. I mean, I love traveling to it, and we get to like sleep in, you know, stay out late, go to, like, I don't go to after parties in Toronto. My kids wake me up at 7 a.m., you know, right, without fail. So I think, you know, it's all part of that. It's more just this like freedom. And I hope, you know, no matter how old, my wife and I always said, you know, no matter, like, this is something we'll never stop. Maybe we'll slow down, but it's something we never want to say like, oh, we can't do that anymore because we have kids, or, oh, we can't, you know, we've slowed down how many shows we go to, but it means so much to me about like music and youth and life, and I'll always go. And so there's a freedom involved in that. And that, you know, sort of connects to, yeah, doing things when I want to that heighten the experience.
So can I ask you, given your kind of unique background as like an incredibly talented musician and as someone who kind of knows who's on stage, who's setting that mood for everyone else, what is it about this band, right? Because no one else creates or engenders this kind of community and this feeling, maybe the Dead back in the day, but I've never found this feeling anywhere else. And we all feel it, you know, it's such a universal experience. Like, what is it about fish that they can do this?
I mean, I hate that. Thank you for this. This is everyone. I mean, I have no succinct, eloquent answer about this. I mean, everyone listening right now, I think, has the exact same answer. And it's everything. You know, it's the fact that people are listening to this podcast right now. I mean, it's this world that, I don't know, I mean, I could make lists like, I love the music, I love the lights, I love how you know, the idea of chasing songs. I love all my friends. I love experiencing it with my friends. I love bringing new people. Like, I mean, it's just, there is no answer. It's literally, it's everything. You know, it's something that is so special to me. It defines me. You know, if someone asked me what I am, you know, I am human and I am a fish fan. You know, it really defines me for sure. All of us, I think. No one casually likes fish. You know, my life revolves around fish.
Hey, listeners, I want to tell you about one of our great partners, DistroKid. DistroKid makes music distribution fun and easy with unlimited uploads and artists keeping 100% of their royalties and earnings. If you're a musician and looking to get your music out there, DistroKid is the way to go. DistroKid is available for iOS and Android and is now available in Apple's App Store and the Google Play Store. More than a million artists rely on DistroKid to get their music onto Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, TikTok, Tidal, Instagram, and all other major streaming services. And with DistroKid, you can upload new releases, see your financial progress, get notified when you've earned royalties, withdraw money from the app, view and share links, check your streaming stats, and a whole lot more. DistroKid has more features than any other music distributor. Check them out today. Go to distrokid.com, that's distrokid with a capital K, .com/VIP/undermine for a special offer only for our listeners. That's distrokid, capital K, .com/VIP/undermine. Thanks, DistroKid.
One Hit Thunder is a podcast where we both celebrate and have a good laugh about bands and artists that had just one hit that we all know. Each week, we're joined by a guest from the world of music or comedy to learn more than you ever thought you would about some songs that you can't forget. And we decide if they brought the one-hit thunder or were nothing more than a one-hit blunder. Look, if you listen to the show, you're probably going to laugh, and I guarantee you're going to crush next time the bar has music trivia. Tag Team, Jane Child, Meredith Brooks, Looking Glass, Sean Mullins, Eiffel 65, EMF, Crash Test Dummies, Crazy Town, Chumbawamba. We have hundreds of episodes in our back catalog and a new episode each week. So pass the Dutchie, make sure you're connected, and subscribe to One Hit Thunder wherever you get your pods.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
What was your original question? It was why? Why do we like it so much?
What about fish?
What's the different thing that other bands don't have that make this thing the thing?
It's everything about fish and the shared experience of loving it. You know, I think Taylor Swift, there's definitely a shared experience, but there's so much more. Well, I shouldn't compare Taylor Swift and Fish. That's impossible. But just the songs.
Unless it's getting a ticket on Ticketmaster.
Well, yeah, totally,
yeah. Perfect. Well done.
Yeah, good job. That's exactly. Oh, that was funny. It's everything. I don't know. It's just there's literally, with the exception of, like, you know, being with my children, like, there's nowhere in the entire world that I'd rather be than be at a fish show, you know, with my fish people.
Well, and I think all these things kind of ladder together, right? Like, I think, you know, if you're a creative person and you make your money doing creative things, then you kind of need to leave some space in your brain for play. You know, like, there needs to be an area where you're not thinking about what you're doing. You're kind of going with flow, and maybe we'll get brunch in the morning. Maybe we won't. Maybe we're going to sleep in. We're going to find out when we wake up in 4 hours. Like, yes. Like, and that space gets created either if you're on tour or these long weekends. And then you kind of fall into this, like, don't send me a work text. If my mom calls, she might get a text back. She probably won't, you know, like, it's because I'm in my play place right now doing the things that I would do if I didn't have a real job and responsibilities at home. And so you create that space around these shows. It means that you don't have to live like a total fucking degenerate the other 280 nights of the year that you're not at fish shows. You know what I mean? Like, you're creating space for that feeling.
you can't. can be a degenerate.
I mean, you can, and a lot of us are, of course. But, you know, but like, this is a fixed place on my calendar.
A special, you're entering the arena. So this is
not me taking acid and going to, you know, the New York Philharmonic on a whim. Like, that's a fun, exciting thing to do.
Or a Lyndon Johnson play.
Yes. Yeah, I mean,
you could do that too, but I, you know, you could just go to the symphony.
That was really nicely worded, James. That's why you're a talker and I'm a player. Yeah, for sure. And I think, yeah, I mean, it's everything. And to your point, you know, like I was saying earlier, like my life really does revolve around fish shows in the way that like life is what, like my, I mean, I think I could speak for a lot of people, maybe all of us, like life is just passing time until the next this show, really, you know, for me, like it's always that, like, what's a good word, like pillar of my calendar.
It's marking time almost.
Yeah,
you could kind of be like, oh yeah, that was right around summer tour, because I remember I was going from Hershey to, right.
Yeah, and I wish, yeah, exactly, you know, and I it's so great that we get to listen back to the shows, and I wish I journal, like I wish I kept. No, it's my friend Josh Goodwin, who I brought to his first show. I'm very proud that he is a deep, deep fish fan now. He's a producer and mixer in LA. He has this like text at, he writes down everything that we say. So if someone is like, whoa, it's going to space now, like he'll write, you know, but I did this thing recently where I went on fish.net. And because my Helping Friendly app wasn't syncing, I went on fish.net and I looked at all my shows and I tried to piece together, you know, like memories from all those shows. And anyway, yeah, what is it about fish? It's everything. And it's even cooler that it's not, you know, main. I mean, it's like a secret.
Yeah. It's like the best kept. Biggest secret. I think I was reading that they've made like $500 million just on touring.
Oh yeah. They're constantly, you know, top 10 highest grossing acts of all time. And you know, they're a machine, but
yeah,
you wouldn't guess it based on, right.
If you know kind of thing. It's wild how it's like a secret world. That's just, you know, it's there for anyone, but you really have to find it.
Fine. Yeah. And there's, I love, you know, those times when I am, you know, I know I have a lot of fish. We all have a lot of fish friends, but those times where you're at like an event or a party or a dinner party, and it comes up that someone's like a big fish head, and all of a sudden, like the whole night for everyone else is fucking ruined. Cause I'm just like, you know, we're just having this conversation about fish, you know? And recently I was doing this acoustic show with a singer named Ava Max, and we were, it was like a thing for winners for Citibank. No, for, I mean, it doesn't affect me. She's the one who got paid.
Like
Capital. Yeah. And you know, they brought in this company and they set up this whole experience for all the card holders to come. And I got there early and I'm, you know, sitting on my stool and I plug in my, you know, guitar, and you know, I on acoustic, I, like I was saying, the first thing I always play just to make, I just Divided Sky, and I'll play Lion Our Graves, like very first before I start noodling and stuff. And this lady starts screaming, and everyone, like, this is all like food people and everyone's setting up. It's, you know, early in the day. This woman is like, ah! And she's like running across the whole thing. And she's like, is that Divided Sky? Is that fish? You know, I was like, yeah, it is. And, you know, we just had a thing. And I love that thing. That thing is everything, you know? that's the end of that story. But
that reminds me of a question I want to ask you. Fish fans really like to congratulate themselves on being the most beloved fans. I feel like every time there's an MSG run, there is someone talking about or posting about how they asked a concession stand person, or they asked, you know, the person guarding the floor, like, who is your favorite fan base? And they always say it's Fish. Do you find that to be true? I mean, you played the Garden, you've been to the Garden. Like, how does the fan base compare to other?
Yeah, most definitely. When I've been lucky to play the Garden a bunch, and I love talking to security there about Fish, and they love Fish. They love Fish fans. And like, case in point, I think this is correct. Phish is the only band that plays the garden where you're allowed to keep your bottle caps for water. Okay. And I think
it may have changed, but they were the first to they went to the garden and said, this is insane. It's a bottle of water. No one's throwing shit here. And the garden was like, okay, you guys can do it.
I actually think that Jeff Kravitz is responsible for that. At least he says a lot of things.
That's entirely possible. I wouldn't put it past him. He's like the Forrest Gump of music.
But yeah, that is, I mean, maybe it was the first, and that's like a great example of like, of course, we're not going to throw the bottle at a band.
Ourselves or the band.
Yeah, you're crazy.
You know, I had that kind of like intrusive thought moment because for New Year's, this was my first ever actual New Year's. I've done New Year's before, but never New Year's Eve. And we snuck a bottle of champagne past security. And I'm sitting there 8 rows from the stage with this like champagne bottle. Like, I could be so bad right now. I won't do it. But like,
oh my gosh. Did you like the gag?
But you weren't, because the Phish fans are the best.
I loved it because I feel like I got to see all the gags I never saw all of it in one night, like a retrospective like that. It was pretty special.
It was awesome. I agree.
Although, the thing I couldn't stop thinking about was as all of these incredibly talented dancers and performers were coming out, you know, what that must have been like for them to see. Because even just watching when they were playing Bohemian Rhapsody and watching the crowd, every single person was dancing and they had the lights on the floor and you could see, you know, 25,000 people just grooving like that, like what that must have been like to be on stage and part of it. You know, there were like 100 people on stage for that. Like, that must have been such an incredible moment. It was so incredible to be in the audience for. I can't imagine.
I'm sure. It must have been crazy. I mean, it never gets old for me. I can't imagine, like, doing it. I mean, maybe it was their first time on it. You know, I think they were theater, you know, government theater background, but
a lot of theater kids.
But like the energy of like, an arena like that, especially like the greatest arena in the world, that's unbelievable.
And it was every single person on their feet. Like, it was the energy in that space was unreal.
I'm happy for you and jealous.
Yeah, well, it feels like, you know, Phish is like religion in a way, kind of. Like, you know, I'm not a religious person at all, but I imagine that the feeling you get in the audience and the community that you feel and that collective effervescence, that wave that you're all riding, that's what I imagine finding God is like, you know?
I think so.
Not to be hyperbolic.
No. I think so. I was just thinking again. That's why you're a great writer, and I play guitar. I couldn't agree. I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, I've been there. I've been in that moment in a Slave to the Traffic Light jam where, I mean, that was it. You know. So, yes.
Yeah. So I guess to kind of continue on in the kind of celebrities theme, have you ever been starstruck by someone you saw at a Phish show? Have you fanned out over anyone?
Yeah, David Frick. I'm trying to think. I haven't seen a lot of celebrities at Phish. I think David Frick from Rolling Stone was at a show. I saw him. I really like him. It was cool. Like, it's cool to see anyone. Like, I'm still... I mean, aren't we all like, I mean, celebrities are just people, but like if I'm at a restaurant and like Matt Damon's over there, I'm like, holy shit, Matt Damon's over there, you know, but, but no, I've never of anyone at a Phish show. No, I haven't seen anyone like overly. I remember one year at the Hollywood Bowl before he passed away, Bill Paxton was there and one of my friends, someone show like, in the, I don't know, maybe in the box next to us. Thank God they're going back to the Hollywood Bowl, by the way. They should only play the Hollywood Bowl and never play the Forum again. But I mean, there's
Nolan
no reason.
Is going to bar you.
There's no reason to play the Forum. But someone, I don't know if it was my friend or someone who, I mean, you know, had a ticket.
You have to start wearing a mask to MSG shows now. They facially recognize you for that one.
I know. They should have a they had a ticket and it said Bill, it was his signature, and then he signed like a little twister, like he like made a tornado. and I remember thinking at Set Break, oh, that's pretty cool. But no, I mean, my geek out at Phish, I mean, I've been lucky, like is with the band, and I'm still so completely geeked out, but you know, every time I meet them, and you know, I respect them so much. You know, it's cool to meet famous people. Sure. Like I geek out over anyone, but I think when I like, you know, when someone like, you know, I've said this to Trey, like to meet someone who, you know, has given me and my family and my friends like so much joy, you know, it's so special to be able, you know, to meet them. So that makes me starstruck. But no one really, I've never ran into any. I mean, who else? There have been people there. My friend Jesse Lautner was like dancing it down with Jimmy Fallon in, you know, I think it was in New York. You know, that's cool. I would have been that's down fine. To party with Jimmy Fallon, but I was in the 100 level, whatever.
I've never actually told, I'll tell you my favorite Phish celebrity story. I've never told this before, publicly or in anyone actually, but, the Halloween show that you and I were at, James, well, first of all, we were, we had, I think CID tickets or red light. And so we were in a perfect, perfect spot. And sitting next to one of the guys from Radiohead, and we were on another planet, and he was with his kids, so less than pleased with our antics. But they played Numberline that night, and fucking John Mayer sent me a text like, "You got your Numberline! I'm so happy for you!" And that was like a standout.
That's fun. That's pretty cool.
John Mayer knows your song.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love John Mayer. He's the best.
He was dressed up like a unicorn riding the rail at this
yes,
show.
Yes, I heard. He was also, I think, at a Bill Graham one year, possibly. I heard a rumor. Yeah, Radiohead, if anyone in Radiohead was next to me, I would be losing my shit. But but no, I've never.
I was in his kid's seat. He was losing his shit at me. He was
we
not.
We were losing because it was the Bowie show. Both of us were like on another planet. It was magic.
I think David Frick is the only like famous person that I've, you know, made eye contact with at a show.
I sat next to Pollock this summer at Hartford, and that man rages. He does not stop dancing, start to finish.
Oh, no way. That's cool.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that. Nice. I bought a whole bunch of raffle tickets at Waterwheel for this Pollock snow globe, and I didn't win, and that's fine. It was for a good cause, but it was such a cool thing.
It's a lot of money for a good cause.
It is cool. That's fun. Yeah, well, I don't know. That's it. I haven't seen anyone. I'm friends with, you know, with John, and we've never overlapped, and I would love to. I would like to start. The problem for me, and this is probably the problem for everyone listening, is that when I go to a show, and I'm no different, like I only have so many tickets. And so, you know, it's easy when we do like Long Beach or, you know, when Bieber came to Dick's because we were on the floor. But like, you know, Justin, even Bieber, like the most, you know, like you said, one of the most famous people, he's like, "Hey, can I come to the Garden and watch Phish with you?" I would be like, "We don't have a seat for you.
We don't have
our family." It's like there's so
much. I'll send
an
email, but no promises.
Exactly.
Like, we'll have to stuff you into our section.
Exactly. Like there's so much stress over making sure everyone has a seat. And it's like, you know, I have three siblings and like it's like, oh no, now I hope my brother doesn't marry someone who loves Phish, because now we're really fucked, you know.
I have to get a box for every show now.
Exactly. The struggle.
Wait, so I have a question about Hollywood Bullfish, because I've never been to see them there. And that is one of my like iconic venues. Do they keep the seats on the floor, or is it fully dancing? How does it, what is the best place to be for that show?
Well, the best place to be for that show, and you probably are a little bit connected, so I mean, maybe you could buy these tickets, and you could cut this part out or not if you want. But the best place to be at the Hollywood Bowl is in one of the boxes, and because they're all boxes in sort of that middle section, and it's like. It's so classy. Like you could order like Whispering Angel and have it chilled in an ice bucket right next to your seat. And, you know, they have like the sake that my wife and I like in the pink bottle, the unfiltered one. And we would go, are you from out? You know, we would get like a Chinese chicken salad from Jones and like bring
from
it
Jones.
In.
Yeah. That's like first stop every time I go to LA.
You know, so here we are like at Fish before they go on, like, at a table with like a white cloth napkin on my lap, you know, eating a Jones chicken salad, and drinking rosé.
You are describing my dream scenario. I didn't even know this was possible.
I mean, it wasn't the same thing, but figuring out the boxes at the Gorge was like a real, the first night we were just out on that, you know, blacktop kind of ground. And then you realized if you make a phone call and spend a little extra money, you could get those boxes that, you know, same kind of deal. There's waitress service and like, I'm getting to the age now where I'm like, you know what? It'd be nice to have my own dancing space and a seat and waitress service and an area with like a private bathroom would be awesome.
I agree. You know? We got a box for this, the past Gorge, which was two summers ago. And both nights, was it three nights? It was a three-night run, three nights. The box next to us was empty, and we claimed it the first night. Then when we got there the second night, we were like, you know, eyeing it. So we had, I mean, it was like gym class where you could spray. We were really spoiled.
Amazing.
The box is good, and I got that this summer in Toronto because I brought my son and his friends, and it was nice for them to have like an unobstructed.
Have some space.
And be able to see like over the 100 level. But yeah, I mean, you know, I'm happy to be in, you know, it's just lucky to get tickets. It's so hard to get.
Put me back in the lawn. Tickets. It's fine.
Yeah, it's totally fine. Exactly.
So two things I want to say then, and I'll probably end up cutting both of them, but my dream proposal in life is we go to a Fish show. We have a box. It's just for the two of us. and then you propose to me as they play Number Line. I just want to put that out into the universe.
Are you guys together?
No.
Okay.
we are old friends. We started working together in 2012. We started out at Gawker together.
I like
but
that.
The other thing I was going to say about the Gorge, do you know about the vineyard next door and the amazing houses? That was a game changer.
Yes.
The nicest concert experience I've ever had.
Yes, it's really nice there. My brother stayed this past year at the Gorge. We were invited to stay with these people who are you guys good for time? It's been a long time. Are you sure you're good?
Yeah, we can.
I have another 10 minutes before I have to either push a call or jump on a call. But
yeah, okay. Well,
we can wrap it up. We have like a five rapid fire question thing that we can close.
I was going to tell you at the Gorge, we stayed at the family who discovered the Gorge. They have a house, they have a guest house, and then they used to own that spa hotel thing and the winery, and they had just sold that hotel, but we stayed in their guest house. And it was so cool because we heard this like family tell us the whole story, how like their grandfather, who was into wine, he was like a dentist in Seattle, he went out there, he started making all this wine out there, and they would always go and watch the sunset on this hill, and he wanted to have, do you know this? Like he wanted to have like a, you know, bring all these like, you know, doctors and bankers out to try his wine, and they had a band, and there was like, but the grass area, like it was so new, it hadn't filled in. And the kids were like, well, why don't we just have it like at the bottom of that hill? Cause we used to like scream up the hill and the sound travels. And like, it was such a cool experience hearing the whole story and staying like in their house. But that is the way to go. The first year I did the Gorge, we stayed far. I've never camped. I'm not camping now. No, it's not out. Yeah, exactly. Anyway. Yeah,
there was a time and place, and they were broken up in the years that I would have put up with living like that.
Gabrielle, you stayed in, you're talking about those like, they're almost like
packing cute.
Yeah. That's really cool.
And then every morning we would just drive down to the, it was like a 3-minute drive down to the river, and just like hungover, like throw our like aching bodies into this like magical water and come out refreshed and ready to go.
Yes. This year we drove, we rented Ski-Doos and we drove. It was like a 30-minute drive.
Cool.
And then from where you get them, it was like 30 minutes back to the gorge. So we went like ripping down the river, you know, it, and then you could see the gorge from the bottom.
I might have a video of you.
And then right across from the gorge, like at the bottom, there's this like kind of sandbank where everyone parks their boats. And it was a combination of like fish fans and then like Americans, where like every boat was playing a different country song, a lot of MAGA flags. Like it was a great, great day.
Melting pot. America.
Yeah, that's the thing to do at the gorge. Rent like those Ski-Doos and rip it down the river. It was.
I have a video of a bunch of people doing that. It very well might be you.
Could be. Okay, tell me your rapid fire. I'm nervous. Let's go for it.
These are softballs. Don't worry. Do you prefer floor or seats?
Seats.
Favorite and least favorite song. Like what's your bathroom song?
What's my bathroom? I mean, there's many of them. Can I give you a little longer answer? I mean, if it's Velvet Sea, I'm headed straight to the bathroom. However, in Mexico, I was like in the ocean for it, I actually liked Velvet Sea. But I would say my favorite song is, you know, a combo of Fluffhead, Forbin, and Lizards. My least favorite song is when they end the show with Character Zero. Play Character Zero before the encore, end the first set with it, open with it. Don't end the show with it.
That's even worse, a tough one. You know exactly what happens.
Yeah. You're bringing out the jaded side of me now.
We knew it was in there somewhere. Can't all be love and light. Even Trey's an asshole sometimes.
Go for it.
All right, so we kind of touched on this, but to ask explicitly, a sober show or not? And if not, do you feel comfortable sharing what that ideal substance combination would look like?
I would definitely say not. And I don't think I want to share, but I mean, you know, a little bit of everything.
Fair, very fair. We're not narcs here, don't worry. favorite venue? And I guess I'm curious, I want to hear two parts. Favorite venue to see fish in, but then also your favorite venue to play.
Oh, wow. This is not rapid fire. My favorite venue, I love Hollywood Bowl. You know, I love being in LA with all my LA friends. My brother-in-law, Jack, lives there. I love the Bowl. I love the Gorge. That's just like going completely away from the world, you know, love it there. Definitely Gorge or Hollywood Bowl. I'm trying to think of where else. No, those are my two favorites. Yeah. If I could see them anywhere, you know, Gorge is such a mission to get to though, you know, especially from Toronto.
You're a West Coast guy.
You know, so I like that. I really like Mexico too. You know, that's like a dream, being there and seeing them. But yeah, West Coast, yeah, for sure. I've never been to Red Rocks, and I don't know if Fish will ever go back there. I should have gone in 2009. I don't think Dave is going to go back there either, but like, I want my first time there to be that. I don't think I want it to be like Humphreys or, you know.
Yeah.
I've never even seen him.
Dumb question. Sorry if this is a dumb question, but why do you think they wouldn't go back there?
I think they play Dix. Like Dix is, you know, now they're doing four nights. It's like 35,000 tickets. I mean, maybe one day they will. I never thought they'd go back to Hollywood Bowl. So, but I really want to go to Red Rocks. It's like a real bucket list for me. I've never played. I don't know if I'd play it because most of the artists that I work with play arenas or they play like a stadium, you know, I'm really lucky that way. I've never done like a shed tour. I've never played Blossom, Alpine, all the places I love going, you know, Pelham, what's that amphitheater there? I fucking love going to see fish in Pelham, in Birmingham, Alabama, Pelham, you know? But my favorite venue I've ever played, there is probably like, there's this venue in Toronto called Massey Hall. I did an acoustic show there. It's kind of like Royal Albert Hall, Ryman vibes. That's awesome. My favorite venue. Or like, you know, I got to play Wembley Stadium. And like, for me, I like huge, or I like intimate theater stripped down, mm-hmm. you know, sort of not in between. If I was picking a favorite.
You gotta go all or nothing.
Yeah.
I was just thinking as you were saying that, because I've never been to Red Rocks either, and I do want it to be like a special show. I think there will be some Dead reunion spinoff kind of thing there. Like, I know Bill did something there a couple of years ago that looked really cool. There will be something jammy and like historic that will come up at some point.
For sure. It's just nothing, nothing that I've like wanted to travel. Like, I'm just kind of waiting, like, you know,
I'd go see like Radiohead with the Dead.
What's that? That would
I want to see Billy Strings play there with the Dead. Like, that would be,
I have to get it. So I'm not into Billy Strings. I just haven't heard anything. I know I should, but like every day, you know, every day it's like Goose, King Gizzard, Billy Strings. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm slowly working my way into a few of those right now. But I haven't seen any of the three of them live yet. And I really want to see Goose and, all three of them. They're like the buzz. You know, everyone's buzzing about it.
Somebody needs to put together like a show, call it Torch Tour.
Let him battle it out every day.
Yeah. Every night Trey can pick his favorite. There'll be like a official passing of the torch.
Right.
Battle of the bands. All right. The final rapid fire. This one's an easy one, unless it's not. Are you a Page side or a Mike side guy?
I'm a Mike side guy for sure. But yeah, Mike side, right side. But I find myself listening. I mean, I listen to both of them. Like, I zoom in, you know. But yeah, I would say Mike side. Although some of my favorite, most memorable shows, like Gem Truck, I was Page side. So mm-hmm. you know. But yeah, and I think, like, you know, because Mike helps me get tickets. You know, I buy tickets through Mike. I think sometimes I'm on Mike's
stand on his side.
No, I think I'm on, like, they seat us on that side. But yeah, that's a great question. If like I'm on the floor, well, in Mexico, I post up very, very front left, page side. No, page side is not wave side in Mexico.
Oh.
Page side is, there's like this kind of nook that's like, you know, I don't know, maybe 20 yards back and in the corner in front of where the hotel ends. And that's where I post up, and there's a bar right there. And so, yeah, I guess. Yeah. But no, Mike's my guy. I'm Mike's side. Easy answer. How about you guys?
I think I like Page side. I'm a Page side girl.
I'm ambidextrous, but if left to my own devices on the floor, I tend to veer to the left.
I mean,
so I'm Page side.
Yeah. A lot of it for me
real
has
answer,
to do.
I want
to
be dead center. Yeah. Rail dead center. Tray side.
Actually, like, I'm more a Kuroda guy. If that's an option, like, I'll go post up right next to the soundboard or the lighting board.
Yeah.
And I'll watch him just as much as I'm watching, because I'm also fairly tall. So, like,
yeah,
I don't need to be close anywhere. I could see what's going on. So, like, yeah, for me, the soundboard is probably like, that's where I will go, just if no one else is telling me we're going over here.
Yeah, I like that. I've always thought for the webcast there should be like, for the webcast there should be an option for just the center.
Yes.
Yeah,
I would love that.
That would be
would
so
love
cool.
That.
Like a choose your own adventure. So I have I have a dream for Mexico, and tell me how unrealistic this is, but I so badly, you know, they make these like pool floats that are like the size of a boat. So I want to bring one of those anchor it like right before the wave break and just sit out in the ocean, like a little bit out, and watch the show from there. Is that doable? Am I going to die? Do they let you bring that in the venue?
That was about what I was thinking about. I don't know if you could, I mean, you could sneak anything into a venue. We've all done it, but I don't know about a giant flotation device. I don't recall seeing anyone doing that.
Floating.
You know, maybe you could get away with that for the sound check day, but
yeah,
I don't recall anyone doing that. But you know, I gotta say, like, I love, like, I'll dip my feet in the ocean, I'll watch a bit, but like the novelty, like, eventually it's just like fish. Although there was the first year and in Riviera, the first Mexico, where it was page side, like the page side was on the ocean side, and that could be played simple, and the whole crowd, like, there's something about the energy, everyone like went to the ocean. You know, then you're wet, and then it's separate. I mean, you go back and change
and then
for
you're
separate.
Covered in sand.
You know everyone is peeing in there. That's why I'm like, okay, I'll be on a boat on top of the water.
That's how I felt about Atlantic City. I don't know that I have the same, like, you know, expectation from the people who could afford to go to Mexico fish. Maybe that's true for some of them.
Rich people pee in the ocean just with the same frequency.
I know, but it's a big ocean.
And the ocean is love.
And the ocean is love.
There you go. Exactly.
We've Got a Band is presented by Section 119 and Osiris Media. Created by Gabrielle Bluestone and James Dell. Executive producers are Gabrielle Bluestone, James Dell, RJB, and Matt Dwyer. Edited by RJB. Audio production by Matt Dwyer. Marketing by Nick Sejas and Eric Limarenko. Art by Mark Dowd.
Osiris.
Hello, everybody. I'm Bruce.
And I'm Nolan. And this is the Corner of Gray Street podcast. As longtime Dave Matthews Band fans, we set out to create a podcast to dive deep into the past, present, and future of DMB.
Not only do we recap and review shows within an ongoing tour, but we revisit past shows from throughout the band's history, conduct interviews with a wide variety of guests with ties to DMB, and create unique and exclusive content like our Concerts on the Corner series.
Whether you're a fan of the band or just a fan of great music, we think you'll find something you'll enjoy. We can't wait to see you on the Corner of Gray Street.
Hi, I'm Dave Gebro. I threw my career as a licensed hearing instrument specialist in the trash, sold my house, and created the ultimate music obsessives podcast, Discograffiti. Each episode of Discograffiti features an eclectic and wide-ranging slew of cool musicians doing long-form, deep-dive interviews in which we rate either their favorite band's output or their own from 0 to 5 stars. From Mike Watt rating the Minutemen to Terry Kirkman from The Association, Bob Nastanovich on Pavement, Bob Forrest on The Band, Bob Mayer on The Replacements, and Lou Barlow on The Zombies, each new guest swings a hard left into an area you either had no idea you needed to know about or know all about and can't believe you're not alone out there. Coming up, here's who we've got on the program. The Lemon Twigs, Robert Schneider from The Apples and Stereo, the Dedrick siblings from The Free Design, Joel Selvin on mother-murdering superstar drummer Jim Gordon, and a record-breaking 20-hour interview with the great Michelle Phillips about the Mamas and the Papas. You're not going to want to miss it, because there's nothing quite like it. Don't let your youth go to waste, lads and ladies. Discograffiti. Subscribe.